welcome to the Sister Speak True Blood podcast, where we discuss everything about the HBO series True Blood from a sister's point of view. I'm Sister J.
And I'm Sister K. And welcome to episode 14, our finale.
Yep.
Let's get started.
Okay, I'm doing the recap today, and this is the final episode, and it's entitled Beyond Here Lies Nothing. I'm going to try to go in a chronological scene by scene this time, because I think it makes more sense. We start out seeing Sookie screaming when she realizes Lafayette has the black eyes. He's been infected by Marianne. The BEs, but I'll probably say black eyes. And Tara and Eggs are behind Sookie in Gran's bedroom. They're all in Gran's bedroom, unraveling this yarn, you know, for that dumb nest that they're building. Lafayette tells Tara that Marianne wants her and the egg downstairs. So after Eggs and Tara take the egg out of the nest and go downstairs, then Lafayette looks at Sookie and he orders her to take her clothes off. And she's trying to, Lafayette, you know, I know you're in there. Finally, Sookie complies and she takes off her dress. Then Lafayette bends down and takes this really pretty white dress out of this paper sack and tells her, put it on. And after Sookie gets dressed, Lafayette takes her kind of rough too and marches her down the steps to Marianne, who's in the living room wearing Grant's wedding dress. And she's being tended by all her bridesmaids, which include Tara, Arlene, and Jane Boathouse. And all the bridesmaids, they're wearing these white togas and with these laurel wreaths on their heads. And Eggs is standing kind of in the background, and he's got white pants on, but he's shirtless, but he has that same little laurel leaf. And they don't have any flowers in it, just little laurel leaf. Like back in Roman days or something. And Marianne says, welcome, Sookie. You're going to be my maid of honor. And Sookie looks horrified as Lafayette is standing kind of behind Sookie, clapping his fingertips together as if to say, oh, goody, goody, you know, because she's going to be the maid of honor. And then, of course, we get the opening credits and stuff. When we come back, then Eggs is holding Sookie or standing behind Sookie, holding her arm so she can't get away. And Sookie's kind of arguing with Marianne about, you know, being in her house, wearing her grand's dress, and using her friends. And, you know, Lafayette is standing over to the side of Sookie, and we see that Lafayette is wearing a little white toga with the train, just like the bridesmaids are wearing, and he's got the little laurel wreath on his head, too. So Marianne sends everybody out to help outside to help with refreshments so she can talk to Sookie alone. And when they're alone in Grant's living room, then Marianne wants Sookie to do whatever she did to send that little bolt of electricity through her because, you know, she wants to feel it again. And, you know, Sookie does try and, you know, nothing happens, of course. And so Marianne, you know, is standing real close to her and she says, but what are you? And Sookie says, I'm just a waitress. I'm just a human being and a waitress. And Marianne tells her, oh, you're much more than a human being. And then the scene changes to Maxine Fortenberry at her house. Oh, poor Maxine. She's still got the BEs, you know. And Maxine is dancing. She's doing the twist. Remember that dance? She's doing the twist in her kitchen as she's kind of looking around at Hoyt. Now, Hoyt's sleeping in the little living room, you know, a TV room area, and he's got all this string wrapped around his arm, and then the string is going down the side of the chair. But we don't notice immediately that there's also string strung across the kitchen leading to the back door. So Maxine looks at Hoyt and she notices that he's all the way asleep. So she tiptoes over to this table. She gets that pan of nastiness that she's been baking for the God who comes. And she's trying to tip out the back door. Well, she trips that string, up flies Hoyt's arm. So he knows, oh, she's trying to get out. So he jumps up off that chair and he grabs his mom from behind and says, no, you can't go. And she says, you know, she still got the BE, so she said, let me go. I want to go to the party and everything. And as Hoyt is restraining his mom, we learn a very important thing. Because Hoyt says that, you know, he's telling Maxine that all the vile, nasty things that she's been telling him for 2 days, he's going to forget all about him because he knows, you know, she's under the influence. So we know he's been in that house with his mama for 2 days. Okay. Next, we're back in Grand's living room with Marianne and Sookie. And Marianne begins to still question Sookie about, you know, what is she? Because she's more than human. And Marianne said, and Sookie keeps saying, I'm just a human being. But Marianne tells her something really important. She says, I live off of human energy and yours I cannot channel. That's very rare. Although surprisingly, not very rare in this town. So she's run into a lot of supernaturals in this town. Marianne tells Sookie that her husband, who is the God who's coming, is going to be her husband, and Sam is the perfect wedding gift for him. And Sookie said, yeah, but, you know, you're going to cut out his heart. And she says, that's the food of the gods. She says, it's the very thing that gives him life. So we know that the very thing that gives the God who comes life is people's hearts. And Marianne confesses to Sookie that Sookie is actually the bait that she's using to get Sam Merlot to come to Grant's house because, you know, she knows that Sam really, really cares for Sookie. And all the while that Marianne's talking to Sookie, she's making Sookie the laurel wreath headdress, but only Sookie's has flowers in it. And she places it on her head because, you know, Sookie's the maid of honor. Okay, the next scene we have, we're in Dallas with Queen Sophie Ann. I love this scene. Queen Sophie Ann is playing Yahtzee with Eric Hadley and her little male pet that I don't recall what his name is. And she's telling Eric that, you know, she heard about his maker. And then she says, that blows. And Eric is trying to tell her, thank you, Your Majesty, you know, for her concern. But she's distracted because her little male pet is accusing her of using magic to win all the Yahtzee games. And she's getting upset that, no, I don't use magic, you know. But then she finally turns her attention back to Eric. And Eric's able to tell her, thank you, you know, for her kind of concern about his maker, Godric. And Sophie Ann tells Eric not to get that there's a Maenad in Bontemps and not to get involved with it because he should stick to what he's good at. I wonder what she thinks he's good at. And Eric looks nervous, it seems to me, at the queen. So she also tells Eric that she gave Bill some kind of folklore about the Maenad and how to deal with it. And she doesn't really know if it's going to work or not. But, you know, that's what she did. Then she says Bill is monogamous with his human. And she kind of, you know, sneers at a little bit. And Eric tells her Bill loves her. And Hadley knows that Bill and Sookie are dating. So Hadley interjects and she says, he does? But Sophie Ann gives her this really disgusted look. And so Hadley looks down at the table and, you know, it's kind of, oops, you know, I wasn't supposed to be interrupting. So then Sophie Ann starts questioning Eric about whether he loves Sookie too. And Eric tells her he does not love humans. And the queen says she's not entirely human. So that's the second person who's saying Sookie is not entirely human. And then Sophie Ann asks Eric if he's tasted Sookie. And Eric says, sadly, no. And she looks a little disgusted and she says, well, don't ever. One vampire in love is bad enough, you know, so. Then Sophie Ann, kind of, she's still playing her little Yahtzee game. And she asks Eric, how does Bill know that she is having Eric sell vampire blood? Eric looks really worried just immediately because he looks alarmed. And Eric says that Bill does not know that Sophie Ann is the one supplying the blood. Sophie Ann jumps on Eric just like white on rice. And he falls back on the floor. She is on him. And she's baring her fangs. And she threatens him that neither Bill nor anybody else better ever find out that she is the supplier of the vampire blood. Then she kisses Eric real passionately. And Eric's fangs drop down. And she kind of looks at his fangs and says, you may be the oldest, strongest vampire in my queendom. But if I want it, I could own your fangs like earrings. Understand? She threatened him with that. And Eric looks really worried. And he says that he will personally, he uses that word, personally take care of Bill Compton. And then Eric begins to kiss Sophie Ann. And it seems to me like he really wanted to kiss her. But then Sophie Ann's little male pet interrupted and said to the queen, it's your turn to play Yahtzee. So she, you know, lights back up on her chair and retracts her fangs and starts playing Yahtzee again. And it takes Eric a few seconds of laying on the floor. But then he gets back up in his chair and he's playing Yahtzee again. And both Eric and the queen are kind of giving each other little sheepish looks, in my opinion. So I don't know what that's going to be about. Okay, next we have Jason and Andy. We see them. They're strapped with weapons and bullets as they approach Sookie's front yard. They see all the people outside in the front yard dancing and, you know, singing and all that nonsense. And they're trying, I don't know why, but they're trying to sneak up through the people dancing in the backyard because I think their intent is to go in the house and get Marianne, Sookie, somebody. But Terry, Belfleur, and all the other people with the BEs, you know, they start surrounding them and they get the weapons away from them. And next thing you know, Andy's down on the ground with a whole group of people like over him. I don't know if they punching him or what, but he comes up with the black eyes. And he's talking about, ooh, the God is coming. And Jason says, Andy, no. Andy punches Jason in the head. All of a sudden, Jason has the black eyes too. And he's saying, hell yeah, here's the God who comes. So that's really kind of sad. So they're under the influence of Marianne. Next, we have Merlot's. And, you know, Sam is at Merlot's, his bar, and he has just put Arlene's kids to bed in his trailer. And he's standing outside talking to Bill. And Bill's telling Sam that, you know, there's a Maynard in Bontemps, and she appears to be there only because of Sam. Sam says, you know, yeah, I know this, and, you know, nothing I can do. And Bill's telling him, well, you need to sacrifice yourself for Sookie and for the town's sake, you know, because that's the only way we're going to get this Marianne. And Sam kind of balks at that idea, saying, well, you know, just because Marianne kills me doesn't mean she's going to stop killing. Killers don't ever stop killing, you know. So what makes you think, you know, if you sacrifice me, it's going to stop? But Bill lets Sam know, well, you don't have a choice in the matter. You will be the sacrifice. So then we're back at Sookie's house, and all the bridesmaids are in the living room, and each one of those nasty women with the black eyes, they're licking blood off of the egg.
Onto the egg, really.
Well,
they're drinking and then licking the egg.
They're drinking and licking the egg, but there's blood splotches on the egg. Mm-hmm. And so Sookie's asking Marianne, where'd that egg come from? Did y'all lay that egg or what? And Marianne tells her, oh, don't be silly. That's an ostrich egg because it represents fertility. And as the maid of honor, you're required to lick it. And Sookie, of course, said, uh-uh. But Arlene puts this cup of blood to Sookie's mouth because Sookie's kind of tied up in a chair. And so Sookie takes a drink of this blood from the cup, and then she licks that egg. And Lafayette is standing to the side of Sookie, and once Sookie licks that egg, Lafayette's saying, oh yes, only through the blood will he come. Ooh, he's creepy. I don't like Lafayette like that. Anyway, so while they're doing that inside the house, outside the house, Bill is bringing Sam into the front yard. So Jason and Andy, who are now under the influence of the black eyes, they run into the house to tell Marianne that Sam is there. Sookie is shocked to see Jason with the black eyes, and she's going, oh no, not you too, Jason. So Marianne and all the bridesmaids go outside, but before she does, she has to threaten Sookie because Sookie's refusing to participate. So Marianne threatens Sookie by saying, oh, well, maybe I'll just sacrifice Jason instead. And Sookie says, okay, you know, she'll go outside and she will participate. So now we're outside. We see that several of the townspeople are lined up to the side of the yard playing Here Comes the Bride on various instruments. It's a hilarious. And Andy, as Marianne is walking down on the porch and down the steps, Andy, bless his heart, he is carrying her train with his one hand, because, you know, he's got his other arm in a cast, and he looks just like a troll. He's all bent over, kind of, you know, skip-hopping behind her, trying to fan out this train. He looks a mess. So she goes down into the yard. Bill comes forward, and he announces to Marianne that he has her sacrifice and offers Sam in exchange for Sookie. And all the townspeople say, yeah, yeah. And so Marianne agrees and says, yeah, you know, to Sookie, go to your dead man, because, you know, he's really dead. And all the townspeople grab Sam, and they put him up on this little board type thing, and they're tying him down. And Marianne starts her ritual. She's doing some kind of chant. Tara puts that egg in the middle of that totem full of meat and rotten veggies and all kind of stuff. And they give the ritual knife to Eggs. Eggs stands before Sam as Marianne's doing her little chanting and stuff, and Eggs stabs Sam right in the heart. It's awful. And of course, Sam starts bleeding. All the people start yelling, yay, you know. And Bill is holding Sookie back to prevent her from running to Sam. And so Sookie's yelling to Sam, Sam, use your gift. And Bill says quietly to Sookie, Sookie, use yours. So we're going to find out what that means. After Egg stabs Sam, then Marianne tells Eggs to bring her the knife. And when he brings her the knife, Marianne takes some of that blood from the knife and she's smearing it on her throat and her chest. And by that time, Sookie has broken away from Sam and she runs to, broken away from Bill. And she runs to Sam, who's, you know, bleeding out because he's bleeding. And Sookie hears Sam's thoughts. She tunes in and Sam is telling her, destroy it, all of it. And Sookie kind of looks around dazed, but then she realizes what he's talking about. So she runs over to the totem. She grabs that ostrich egg and she smashes it to the ground. And then she takes that totem and she pushes it. And all of a sudden, her little white electrical power comes out through her palms as she's pushing that totem down to the ground. She pushes it over. All the townspeople are, hey, what's happening? And of course, Marianne is really mad. So Marianne says to Dionysus, who's the god she's waiting for, I'm so sorry for this interruption. I'm going to sacrifice all of the townspeople just for you, Dionysus. And so she starts making this loud, shrilling sound that's driving the people crazy. Except it doesn't seem to affect Sookie. So Sookie, everybody's bending over, moaning and stuff. And Sookie runs over to Tara, who is all crouched over from the pain of that sound. And she's yelling for Marianne to stop hurting the people. And Marianne looks and sees that Sookie's not affected, and she's just getting angrier and angrier. So she digs her hands in the dirt. And when she pulls her hands out, she's got those big three claws for hands. And so Sookie, of course, starts running, and Marianne starts chasing her, just like when she scratched her in the woods. And so Sookie's running down the road, and of course, Sookie falls down. You know, and so Marianne catches up. Well, I have to say, of course, because we're going to talk about that. But Sookie falls down, and so Marianne catches up to her, and she's hovering over her, and she's just about to claw Sookie when Marianne hears this braying sound. So she stops, and she looks, and all of a sudden she sees a white bull walking slowly toward her. And, of course, she thinks that's her god, and she's just ecstatic. And once the bull gets close enough to her, she rubs the bull's snout and says that she is all his. And she stands there and stretches out her arms and on either side of her and waits. Well, the bull gores Marianne right dead in the heart. And then she's saying, you know, she's a little startled at first, but then she realizes, oh, well, maybe I'm going to be your vessel. I'd be more than happy to be the vessel and die for you. And about the time she says that, then Sam Merlot shapeshifts from the bull into Sam, butt naked all the way, and he has grabbed a hold of her heart, and he pulls Marianne's heart from her chest. Marianne looks so shocked and surprised to see Sam there, first of all. And she's looking at Sam, and she says, Was there no God? And Sam doesn't say a word. He just looks at her and he's got holding her heart in his hand and he crushes her heart with his hand. At the time he does that, all these black lines come all over Marianne's face and body like she's drying up and she falls down dead, all dried up. It's great. So Marianne's dead. Immediately when Marianne falls to the ground, all the people with the black eyes are cured. The black eyes recede. They all come out of their reverie. They're all back to normal, except no one can remember anything, and they can't explain why they're out there, you know? So Sookie runs to Sam, and Sam's all naked, and she's, you know, telling him, oh, I thought you were dead. And he's trying to tell her, well, no. And then she sees Bill limping up the road. Bill's limping up the road, kind of holding his arm, and Bill collapses into Sookie's arms just as she gets to him because he explains to her that Sam drank a little more of his blood than he had intended. So as Bill is trying to explain to Sookie that, you know, he promised that he would heal Sam if Sam would, you know, sacrifice himself and stuff, then Sam has walked on away so he can go put some clothes on. So, Sam returns wearing some jeans and, you know, carrying a shirt. And Sookie is so impressed that Sam was willing to die for all of them. And so Sam says, well, Bill kind of promised he wouldn't let that happen. So, you know, that was fine. Then Jason and Tara approach. They run from the front yard and they see Marianne lying there all dried up. Or they see all dried up corpse or something with that wedding dress on laying there. But they don't remember anything. And Jason's asking, well, what happened? And Sookie says, you know, not now. Now's not the time. She asked Bill to get rid of the body, to bury it somewhere. She don't want to know where. She don't care where. And then she asked Jason and Sam to help get all the townspeople home. So that's kind of like, you know, where we are there. Next, we have Hoyt kneeling in front of his mama, Maxine, who he sat down in that chair. And he's thanking God because her eyes have receded, that black eyes had receded from her, and she's now herself, sort of. And Maxine says, you know, that she doesn't remember anything except for, you know, that Jessica and you know, meeting that redheaded vampire of yours. And then she feels her neck and notices there's a Band-Aid on her neck. So she takes that Band-Aid off and she feels some two little holes and she says, I can't believe you let that girl feed on me. And, you know, what kind of person would feed on an innocent person for no reason? And Hoyt tells her, well, she was kind of provoked into doing it because, you know, you were saying some mean, spiteful things about her, about me, about, you know, my daddy killing himself, everything. And Maxine lets him know, you know, she starts getting that guilty look and she lets him know, well, you know, the part about your daddy killing himself was not a lie. Ooh, Hoyt blows up. And he realizes that all those years, for 18 years, she's lied to him because, not because she was afraid of a burglar, but because she was afraid of being alone. She did not want him to go off, be a man, because then she'd be alone in the house. So Hoyt is really, really mad. So then he says to Maxine, you know, you lied to me for 18 years instead of letting me become an actual person. I wish Jessica had finished you off. Ooh, that's mean. And then he walks out the door, leaves the house. And of course, Maxine's, you know, upset and crying. So then we're back at Sookie's house and all the people are, you know, leaving now. They're getting rides home. Jason's helped taking them home. About that time, Jane Boathouse found her finger in that nasty totem that was pushed down, you know, on the ground. And she's freaking out like, what? How did this happen? And so Jason, you know, being the helpful person that he is, you know, he kind of puts her other arm around his neck and said, well, come on, I'll take you to the emergency room. And he had already promised to give Arlene a ride home. So he says, come on, Arlene, we'll both take her and then I'll take you on home. And then about that time, Bud is talking to Andy, and Bud lets Andy know, you know, I don't know what happened, but it's going to take two of us. And if you come back by the police station tomorrow, I'll give you back your badge. And, of course, Andy's just elated. He says, I swear I will never take another drink ever. You know, so he's probably going to hold to that. So Sam is kind of outside Merlot's. And he sees a little doe that's kind of like at the edge of the woods. And he sheds one tear. He's probably thinking about Daphne. About that time, Bill walks up on him and he thanks Sam for, you know, trusting him enough to sacrifice himself. And Sam says, well, Sookie's safe. That's what you wanted. And Bill says, you wanted it too, though. So Bill says, you know, he's really grateful that Sam chose to show his gift for the sake of the townspeople, because he realizes, you know, that was brave of him. And, you know, Sam says that what he realizes that you suffer a lot more if you hide something rather than if you face it. So that was a little turning point for him. So, you know, Bill kind of looks at him like, yeah, okay, right. But he doesn't say anything and he walks on off and leaves. Now, inside Sookie's house, we have Eggs is in the kitchen. And he's trying to wash this blood from his hands. And he is freaking out because he has blood on his hands. And as near as he can tell, he's the only person there with blood actually on his hands. So he's asking Tara, well, where's Marianne? Because, you know, she'd know what happened. I can't remember. And, you know, Tara's trying to tell him, you know, it's just best that we just focus on the fact that you're okay, I'm okay, you know, everything's fine. So, you know, let's just move on. And he says, no, because, you know, I got to know. And she says, well, she says, you know, Sookie helped her to remember some of the things that she had lost in her memory. But she wished that she could forget them again because, you know, you really don't want to know all the stuff. And so he says, well, and I got blood under my fingernails. He is freaking out about this blood on his hands. About that time, Sookie comes to the kitchen and she's asking Tara, are you okay? And, you know, Tara says, yeah. And she's looking at Eggs like, is he okay? You know, and Tara finally apologizes at that very moment. She finally apologizes to Sookie for bringing Marianne and all that craziness into Sookie's house. And Tara is really, really sincere. And, you know, but Tara said she got sucked in by Marianne because Marianne made her feel like she was part of a family. And so Sookie felt kind of bad for her, and they're hugging and everything. And Sookie says, yeah, but we are family. You know, all of us, we are family. So you're part of my family. And about that time, Sookie notices that Mike Spencer, the coroner, is still laid out on the kitchen floor where she knocked him out with that pan. So she's going, ooh, he's knocked on out. He's still knocked out. So Tara tells her, well, you go on to bed, you know, because she'll be up. I guess she's going to help him get home. So once Sookie goes up in the bedroom, she asks Bill how much time do they have till sunrise. And he says 41 minutes. So she says, well, can you hold me for at least 40 of those minutes? So they just lay on the bed and he's just, you know, holding her like you do a little child. Now, the next scene we have is we're back at Merlot's the very next day. And Sam has opened up his bar, and so the townspeople can come there, you know, get food, get drink, you know, sit and talk, whatever. And there's these two women sitting in a booth talking about they think aliens took over the town. And then one of them saying, yeah, well, I heard that Marianne was really into pharmaceuticals, and, you know, she put something in the water, in the food and stuff, you know. And then we have Arlene is sitting in a booth with both of her kids. There's all kinds of food. It's food and all kinds of desserts all over the table. So you can see she's giving those kids anything they want. And she's just, you know, trying to tell them, you know, apologizing to them for not being there. And that she was so sorry. And, you know, the little boy tells her, oh, Mom, you don't have to worry because, you know, Sam took real good care of us, and he even took us to see a vampire, and that vampire could fly. You know, it was really cute. And so she you know, promises that, you know, everything was going to be fine from now on. And then Terry comes up, and he has these two little toy ray guns that he gives each of the kids. And he's trying to tell the kids, he says, okay, kids, I tell you what, you can take care of your mama when she's at home, and I'll take care of her when she's at work, okay? And they all agree. And then about that time, we have Sam and Tara at the bar. And Tara's thanking Sam for opening up the bar that day and saying that, people really appreciate it. And Sam saying, well, the bar is everybody's bar. It's not just my bar. And so Tara said, yeah, but it's called Merlot's. And he says, but that's just a name. He said, because a name is a name. It doesn't really say anything about who I am as a person. So that's kind of a little foretelling right there. Before Terry and Arlene leave the table with the kids to go back and, cook and do the serving because there's a lot more customers coming in, then the kids are asking their mama if she saw Renee while she was gone. And Arlene says, well, no, I think he's still on vacation. And the kids just look at her. So Arlene goes to wait on other tables. And so the girl looks at her brother and says, yep, he's dead. And the little boy says, yep, he's dead. So they think Renee's dead, which is in fact true. And we're still at Merlot's, and Lafayette is listening to those two women talk about, all these aliens and stuff. And Lafayette is just cracking up. He's like, he cannot believe it. But Sam goes to those women's tables because he kind of heard them too. And he tells them, well, what really happened was the ATF closed down a distillery over some bad batch of vodka. And apparently that's what everybody was drinking last night. So, they're going, oh, yeah. So he's telling them, so you picking to drink Mountain Dew rather than some alcohol is probably a good thing. So as Sam walks away from their table, one of those women, she is staring at Sam's behind. And she says, God bless who made those jeans. I'm serious. I'd wear him like a scrunchie. Oh, that was so funny. And then they're laughing. About that time, Lafayette's getting a drink from Tara, and he says, everybody's been acting so crazy, I forgot how stupid they really were. And he's looking at those two women, and of course those two women glaring at him like, who you calling stupid? So at another table, in Merlot's, Jane Boathouse is sitting with two men, and she's talking about, how she lost her finger and how the doctor was able to reattach it. She's telling him she really can't remember what happened, but she thinks maybe a gator bit it off. Well, Andy and Jason are sitting at a table next to her. And Andy, for some reason, is just getting real, real irritated. And he's saying, there wasn't no giant gator that bit off your finger. And Jason's trying to shush, Andy. And so Jane Boathouse kind of turns around and says, what? And he says, I saw you pull that finger from a giant, I saw you pull that finger from a giant statue of meat. And then he says, just like I saw you get it from behind by Mike Spencer. And Jane Boathouse and the two guys she's talking to, they're just laughing and saying, oh, you know what? We need to have whatever you drinking because it must be awful good for you to come up with them kind of stories. And of course, Andy's denying that he's drinking anything. He says, this is Coca-Cola with lime in it, So they just all kind of laugh at him. And so Jason finally kind of quiets Andy down. And Jason's trying to tell Andy, look, we're heroes. It don't matter that we can't remember anything. We're heroes because we came to town to get Marianne gone. And she's gone, isn't she? So we must have done something, which means that we're heroes. And Andy says, yeah, but in my book, if nobody thinks you're a hero, then it don't count. And Jason says, oh, yeah, do count. That's nonsense. It's like if a tree falls in the woods, it's still a tree, ain't it? Oh, my goodness. Jason is so simple. But anyway, so him and Andy, talk about the fact that, okay, yeah, I guess we are kind of heroes because, we set out and did what we was going to do. Now, Sam encounters Sookie kind of in the back room while Sookie's filling up some containers with mustard and ketchup and stuff. And Sam is asking Sookie if she would mind keeping an eye on the bar for just a few days because, in light of what's happening and everything, he's the only person that, hasn't had a break. And he just needs a break, And Sam says that he's really glad that the townspeople don't remember what really happened, and that, you know, he's a shapeshifter, so he really doesn't want them to really kind of know that. So Sookie tells him that she wished everybody could know how special he was, and, you know, she really, really appreciates what he did for the town. About that time, a special messenger delivers a box to Sookie at the bar, and she takes it outside and opens it, and it's a fancy lavender dress from Bill, who says he's going to take her out to dinner. And while Sookie is reading the card and oohing and on over this beautiful lavender dress, Egg sneaks up on her. And he does kind of scare her. Scares me too. And he's kind of lurking around, but he's wanting to ask Sookie for help, to help him remember the gaps in his memory. And Sookie's trying to dissuade him and say, you know, I really probably can't help, but also, you know, you were under Marianne's influence. Everybody was. So you might not want to know. He says, I had blood on my hands. I got to know what's what. I know you can help me. So Sookie tells him to concentrate. She's sitting there facing Eggs, holding his hand. And, of course, Sookie starts flashing. She flashes on Eggs riding in the car, in that convertible car with Marianne. Eggs killing Miss Jeanette. Eggs killing Daphne. And Eggs stabbing Sam. And of course, Eggs, once they break the connection, Eggs is really upset. And he's saying, I'm a killer. I killed people. And Sookie's trying to convince him, yeah, but you were under Marianne's influence. You know, it's really not your fault. And he just can't accept that. He is feeling so guilty and so distraught. And he just kind of walks away, you know, back, I guess back to town, because he's going by the way of the woods. So, you know, excuse me. Next scene is at night, and we see Jessica coming down the stairs at Bill Compton's house dressed in this pretty little red sundress. And as she's coming down the stairs getting ready to go out the front door, Bill's coming from another part of the house getting ready to go out the front door. And they, you know, encounter each other, and he tells Jessica how beautiful she looks and everything. And he tells her that he's taking Sookie to a French restaurant because humans seem to like French restaurants. And he hasn't been to a French restaurant in over 70 years. And, of course, Jessica says that she's going, you know, going out with Hoyt. And right before Bill leaves, then she tells Bill that, you know, her and Hoyt had a fight, but she's going to his house to apologize. And so, you know, Bill tells her, well, you know, you need to be in by 4 a.m. And she tells him, you need to be in by 5 a.m. So it was kind of a cute scene. Next we see Sam. He has left Merlot's and Bonton, that we now know. And Sam is ringing a doorbell, and it is Mrs. Merlot, his adopted mother. And she seems really shocked to see him. Of course, she's a lot older now. And as Sam is, you know, she invites him in. And as Sam is looking around in the living room, he notices all of the pictures with him in it are gone. And he says, you took all the pictures down. And Mrs. Merlot says, well, we had to get rid of all the pictures of you because it'd be kind of hard to explain to our friends who you were when our friends think we have no children. So Sam says, you know, he really don't care. And you could tell he's on a mission. He don't really care whether she feels guilty or how she feels. You know, he feels very slighted and very a traumatic childhood by the way they treated him. And he's asking her, he wants to know who his real parents are, who she adopted him from. And she refuses to tell him. She says, well, first of all, I promised them, I swore to them that I would not tell. And you don't want to know because they're bad people. That's what she says. Well, about that time, excuse me, there's a machine monitor in the living room that's beeping. So you could tell there's a sick person in the house. Next, we see Sam going into the bedroom. And there's his adopted father in the bed. And his adopted father is all tubed up with tubes and everything, and he's looking really bad, and he cannot talk or anything. He's got a trach and everything in his throat, but he has a pad and pen, and he's written something down. And so he smashes it up, and he kind of hands it to Sam, and Sam takes the piece of paper, and on the piece of paper it says, Melinda and Joel C. Mickens, last known is Magnolia, Arkansas. I'm sorry, That's what the note says. So we know that Sam's going to probably go and visit his folks. The next scene, we're back at Bill Compton's house because Hoyt is all dressed up in a little suit. And he's got this big bouquet of flowers. And he's knocking on the door trying to, you know, see Jessica. But while that's going on, then the scene flashes to Jessica, who is at a truck stop with a trucker. She's in the cab of his truck, kissing on this trucker and everything. And Jessica's looking like, oh, I'm so bored. Let's get this over with. So Jessica tells the little trucker man that she's a virgin. And the man says, well, he kind of likes that. And Jessica says, well, I don't. And then she bites the man. So she's going to be feeding. Then it flashes back to Hoyt. And, of course, nobody comes to the door because they're all gone. So Hoyt puts the bouquet of flowers down by the front door and he leaves. And the next scene is, Bill and Sookie at the French restaurant. But I'm going to go to eggs first and then we'll sum it up with Bill and Sookie. Back at Merlot's, Andy is coming out of Merlot's that night and he's getting ready to go to his car, presumably to go home. Eggs confronts Andy out in the parking lot. Eggs is acting all erratic and distraught, and he's got that big ritual knife in his hand, and it's got dried up blood on it. And he's trying to tell Andy, look, you need to arrest me and lock me up. I murdered people and everything. And Andy's trying to calm him down, but of course Eggs is not having it. And at one point, Eggs knocks Andy to the ground. And I think it's kind of accidental, but he knocks him to the ground. And he's talking to Andy, but he's pointing that knife at him. Next thing you know, Eggs' head explodes from a bullet. And the camera goes up, and Jason has shot Eggs in the head. Eggs is dead on the ground. And Andy takes the gun from Jason, wipes all the fingerprints off of it, and says, Jason, get gone. You didn't do this. Okay, just leave. So Jason runs on off, and about that time, Tara and some of the other people from In Merlot's, they're running out. Of course, Tara's shocked and distraught, and she's crying and weeping and everything, you know, because Egg is laying there dead. And Samson announces to the people, he's the killer. He came at me with this knife, you know, had to shoot him. So he gone. Now, at the French restaurant, Bill and Sookie looks so beautiful in this lavender cocktail dress. And Bill and Sookie, they do some dancing first, and then he's going to watch her eat because, you know, Bill doesn't eat food. By the time Sookie has finished her dessert and she's just marveling at this wonderful meal, then Bill tells her it's not quite over yet. He presents her with some plane tickets. And she says, Burlington? Where's Burlington? He says, in Vermont. And then he presents her with a ring box, and she opens it up, and it's an engagement ring. And he asks Sookie to marry him. Well, Sookie kind of gets a little upset, and she begins to cry, and she says, you know, she doesn't even know if she's even human or not, and her life has been turned upside down lately, and she's just unsure. And then she tells Bill, well, I need to go to the ladies' room and clean myself up. And Bill, of course, is looking sad and worried, you know. So Sookie goes to the ladies' room. While she's looking in the mirror at herself and she's looking at the ring, and you can tell she's kind of thinking about it and everything, and she's made up her mind that she's going to tell him yes. Well, when Sookie gets ready to come out of the ladies' room, we go to Bill. He's at the table. He's sitting there with his hands folded, and he's thinking. He's very pensive. All of a sudden, there's these two gloved hands are behind Bill, and they put this silver chain around Bill's neck. You can see the smoke coming from his neck, and they snatch Bill from behind. And Sookie rushes out of she's made up her mind. She rushes out of the ladies' room, and she says, yes, yes, Bill Compton, I'll marry you. And when she gets into the main dining room, there's no one there. Bill's chair is on the floor, knocked down on the floor. The champagne stand where the champagne was cooling is all knocked on the floor. And the French doors to the restaurant are standing wide open. And she's saying, Bill, that's the end.
Woo, that was a long
one. Was a long one, but oh, it was such good stuff.
It was a good show.
It was such good stuff. What'd you think?
I liked it. I really liked it. And the main thing that I liked was that the BEs were gone.
Oh, yes. I'm so glad.
And done. And I think they really did a good job on how Marianne was conquered.
I think it was excellent because the queen, she gave Bill that bit of folklore, but the queen did admit she didn't know if it would work or not, but she gave it to him anyway. So I thought that was a good little fact because it did work. I mean, at that moment that she...
Well, but even all that, you didn't know how that was going to play out. But the point is that mm-hmm. when she ran, was running after Sookie, and then you see that big, white, beautiful white bull mm-hmm. coming up, and she's just like transfixed. Stop, because that's her whole essence.
Did you know it was Sam?
I did not know it was Sam.
I did not know it was Sam until he shifted back.
I didn't either.
I thought, wow, this is great. It never even occurred to me.
No, it didn't
either. That was Sam. So I like that kind of surprise, mm-hmm. though. But that was kind of gory.
Well, yeah, but the whole season has been gory.
Yeah.
And, you know, when they stabbed Sam, I was like, what the hell? How is he going to get away? Or, you know, get out of this? And I was wondering how he was still alive. Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, I kind of, when Egg stabbed him and just the way it was done, and then when he told Sookie, go destroy it, I kind of figured that because when he says destroy it all, and Sookie, there's just a hesitation, you could tell she's thinking, oh yeah, that stuff. So she goes to get that egg, but there was just a really 2-second scene where you could see Bill moving through that crowd.
Moving back.
Well, yeah, he was kind of moving back. So mm-hmm. I think he was going around the crowd to let loose Sam, because Sam was bound to that little thing. Mm-hmm. So he could go and heal Sam, see? So
yeah, that was so good.
And of course, you know, seeing Sam butt naked was fine.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, he was looking good. That's the second time he's been butt naked.
No, it's been more than that.
Oh, well, that's true.
I really like the way they did that scene. I really like Michelle Forbes, though. And so I hate to see her go, but that character or that whole storyline needed to end. But I really like Michelle Forbes.
Yeah.
And actually, everything I see her in, I really love.
I do, too.
And a couple of shows I've watched her when her character always gets killed.
Well,
but she did a great job with it.
Oh,
I was just way tired of the BEs, the orgies.
Yeah.
I was so happy to see that end.
Yeah. That whole storyline, I mean, it was.
And they had to kill her because they couldn't let her just walk off.
No.
She'd go and terrorize somebody else, mm-hmm. some other town, and they just couldn't mm-hmm. have all that.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is what I wonder. Since the townspeople cannot remember where they were, what they were doing, then how is it that Tara remembers what her flashback was? Is it because Bill glamored her first and Sookie helped her to see that, so it's in her mind?
It's because Sookie and Bill helped her. And because Sookie helped get the black BEs away, mm-hmm. she remembers. Like, Eggs remembered when Sookie helped him.
Okay.
So it's like she...
But he didn't have the BEs at the time she helped him, though.
No.
But Tara did.
But I think that's why Tara can remember.
Okay, gotcha.
And nobody else can.
Okay, yeah, because she remembers the stuff that she did anyway.
Yeah.
And some other stuff.
Sookie helped her to do that.
Okay.
So, but I think that's why nobody else did. Now, the first... 10, 15 minutes of it when Jason and Andy were going into trying to help and then they ended up with the BEs. I was like, okay, I'm through with this.
I know. I'm through. I was so mad.
I was so irritated. I'm like, now we got two more of them with the damn black eyes.
I know. Yep.
You know, this is ridiculous. I was just like, okay, we're done.
So
with
that
this.
Lets you know that Andy is not a supernatural. He doesn't have any.
Oh, I already knew that.
Well, but you know.
Yeah.
I was kind of thinking, well, because he wasn't all the way influenced by Marianne stuff, but he was, so, you know.
He was.
I am just so glad.
A question that I'm not going to say too much because of the books, but I wanted to know why Jason's mm-hmm. eyes turned black, considering him and Sookie are related.
That's a good question.
And Sookie, I mean, that was the first thing, well, not the first thing I asked, but later... When I got to work and were around people who had read the books, mm-hmm. I was like, okay, y'all, why did Jason's eyes turn black since him and Sookie are related, and we know from the books a little bit of the, at least the history, and I think they're kind of going to that same storyline in the show. And we couldn't figure it out. We were thinking, well, maybe they're going to make him and Sookie not related for real. Maybe they're going to... Maybe they're going to make them step, which would be terrible because it doesn't fit with the story.
Yeah.
Well...
But that's a good question, though.
I read an article today, and I'll... It's out on entertainmentweekly.com. Okay. So for those who want to know can go read it. Where Alan Ball, and they ask him that question, and Alan Ball kind of addressed that, yes, they are full brother-sister, but that there's some thing that they'll reveal in season three that will kind of explain that question.
Okay. Yeah.
So for the, and he says, for those who've read the books, you know what I'm talking about. And those who haven't, you'll be pleasant. You'll be surprised. So
okay, but don't tell.
I'm not going to tell, but that was a question I thought of.
Okay.
Like, how is that possible? And that's what I think, why I was so angry when I saw all of them with the black. I was like, gosh darn it. Are they going to go away from this story that I like in the books? And you know, so anyway, that's what I was thinking about that with that whole scene. But I was so happy when they were able to get that out of the way. And then we had almost a whole 20, 30 minutes left of the show
that
didn't deal with Marianne.
That was great.
Which was good.
And I am loving the Sam storyline. Because I want to know who his people are, too. And well, especially since the adopted mother said...
you don't want to know them.
You don't want to know them. They're bad people.
Yeah, when I first watched it, you know, we were at our watch party, so we had a little trouble listening. But when I first watched it, I'm like, well, who the hell are these people? And I wasn't catching that those were his adopted parents at first.
Yes. Well, he even told Marianne that, like, when he was...
I couldn't remember that.
And he told Sookie that, too. And remember when like, in season one, when Andy would always be questioning him, you know, I mean...
Well, he'd say his parents were nudists and...
Right, but Bud knew he was adopted.
But when I realized what they were doing, I was like, okay, this is going to be kind of interesting.
That's going to be very, very interesting. And I also think it was... that's why when I do a recap, certain dialogue that I actually, you know, put in there, because I just thought it was so foreshadowings, if you will, when Andy, when Sam is telling Bill, well, you know, sometimes it's better to just face what you really are, you know, rather than try to hide it. You might as well just face it, you know. And I think at that moment, he probably decided also, yeah, you know, I need to go on this little trek and just find out, you know, just find out who I'm from, how did I get this shape-shifting thing, because that's what he wants to know.
Well, I think what it was is, too, when he saw the deer after he started thinking about Daphne, and even though she was tricking him, she was saying a lot of stuff that he needed to hear, which is he needs to embrace who he is, quit running and hiding, and let some people in, because that's why he's been alone all these years, is because he doesn't let anyone get close enough to him to tell him. And the only person he's told is, well, now Andy and Jason, because he kind of had to, but with Sookie.
Right.
And she's they're not in a relationship other than friends and boss.
Okay, and that brings up another question. Since Andy and Jason were told about Sam shapeshifting before they got the BEs, they'll remember that then, right?
Yeah, they'll remember that.
Okay, so, you know, what'd you think about Jessica?
I was kind of sad about that.
I feel kind of bad for her.
But it makes sense to where they were going, because she, like some of our listeners have said, she does have a... eating disorder, where she doesn't want to, or not really a disorder. She's just decided, I am not like Bill, even though he's raising me to be a true blood person. I want me some real fresh meat. The problem with Jessica is she is not doing it the way the other vampires have learned to do it, because they're out in the open. She's kind of doing it the old-fashioned way.
Old-fashioned way. Chicken
where
folks.
She's tricking folks. I am not sure how that's going to go over. But it's going to probably take him a while to figure out that it's her.
And do you think she's going to drain him, like kill him, or just feed on him?
I think she'll kill him.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
The way she was doing it.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I think she's going to drain him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because she's hungry. I mean, she's hungry now.
So do you think Hoyt will leave his mama in season 3? Because he's pretty mad.
I think he'll start. Yeah, I think he will.
Yeah.
Because that was
I felt sorry for Hoyt, too.
That was sad. I felt sorry for both of them, actually. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of liking Maxine more, though. The more they show her, even though she's mean.
Yeah, she's mean.
She's mean for a reason.
That is true.
She was like that for a reason because she had to do what she had to do to take care of her son. But now she's hung on to him. She's made him the man in her life now, which a lot of people do.
Yeah, they do.
And he's trying to grow and expand, and now he's realizing that he's older. Mm-hmm. You know, you've really smothered me and thwarted me and wouldn't let me grow. And that was the sad part. He's like, I couldn't go to college. You wouldn't let me be a real person.
Yeah.
And now here I am, 27, 28 years old.
Yep.
So I think he's going to need to leave her.
Yeah, I felt kind of bad.
Move out.
But, you know, I think in a, on Sookie, I think in a separate, previous podcast, maybe that first podcast when they first got to Dallas, or maybe the second one, I kept telling you, I think Sookie was more than just a human being.
Yeah, I know. You said that last week.
So now we know she's more than just a human being. Too many people have said that. The queen knows it. I mean, so many people have told her that. So maybe she's going to also go on a little quest, you know, to find out what it is. Because she didn't mention to Bill at the restaurant that, you know, Barry's the only other person that she knows just like her. Mm-hmm. So, you know, hopefully that means Barry will be back.
He will.
I hope so, because I liked him.
He will, because he figures into other stories that I'm sure they're going to keep into the show.
Okay.
But back to Bill and Jessica, that scene with when they're both leaving, getting ready to leave for the evening, I thought was really sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's looking shy, and he, you know, it's the first time he's been back home in forever.
And he's trying to be tolerant with her.
So he's like, oh, where are you going? Are you gonna have? He's like, well, he'd be a fool if he didn't, you know, accept your apology. That was really sweet.
Well, and I thought it was sweet when he said, in my day, you know, a boy comes courting on the girl, but I realized, you know, times have changed.
Yeah.
I thought that was good too. So,
and she was acting a little funny, so we should have known she wasn't going to meet.
Yeah, because she was acting awful suspicious.
As soon as Hoyt started knocking on the door, I was like, they didn't arrange this right.
she's not even there.
She ain't nowhere to be
found. I know, poor thing.
Yeah, but that, I thought that was really sweet.
But I am just so thankful that the Marianne storyline is over with. It's just a shame that it's over with at the end of the season because we don't have any more episodes. But I'm glad it's over with, though.
Yeah. Now, what did you think about the Queen and Eric scenes? Because that's the only time we really saw Eric, you know, in the whole episode.
Well, once again, Eric looked really good.
He did look good.
Okay. This is what I got from that. You know, I really like what they do with Eric because Eric acted, in my opinion, he acted the same way with Queen Sophie Ann as he did with Godric. You know, he's very deferential when it's a higher hierarchy person like that. And even though she is not his maker, but it seems to me that he was very deferential to her.
Well, because she's the queen. So true. No matter, like she said, no matter that he's 2,000 or 1,000 years old, and in an article, I don't know if I'll say it, but in the article, they say how old Sophie Ann is, and she's not 1,000, so she's younger.
Well, she already said, you're the oldest and the strongest in my kingdom.
Right, but
queendom.
He knows the hierarchy, and he's not one to kind of go against that. Nothing has made him, he's not, I don't think he's felt strongly about anything that would make him go against what the hierarchy is saying, like Bill did.
Right.
Bill was in love with Sookie, and he was trying to protect her, and so that's why he felt the need to go against the rules, basically, by killing Long Shadow.
Well, I read an article where a person suggested that they don't believe Bill wandered into Malott's that evening on accident, that they now believe that Bill knew about Sookie and specifically targeted Sookie, knowing that when she drank his blood, it just was fortuitous that she needed it, but he was going to do that anyway, that when she drank his blood, she would be bonded to him. And that's an intriguing thought.
Which is a very good thought.
Yeah, very intriguing. Simply because of that bit of information that he kept from her and only disclosed it to her when she had drank Eric's blood.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that puts a whole new light on maybe his motivation. See, which I thought was very intriguing. So, and I could see how that could be. You know what I mean?
Well, back to, because you keep jumping from what I'm talking about. Back to Sophie Ann and Eric.
Okay.
I like the scene we also find out that she's the one giving him the V.
Yep.
Now, why is she giving him the V? Because she wants more money. It don't look like she needs money.
Yeah.
Is she trying to figure something out?
Well,
that was the part I was really interested in.
Well, I think it's really intriguing, too, because I was talking to a person at work who's a True Blood fan also. And, you know, I was reminding this person that when Lafayette was in the basement and Eric was getting his hair dyed and he brought Lafayette up to question him, and he was questioning him about where did he get his V.
Uh-huh.
And all Lafayette knew was his supplier was in Dallas, and he contacted his supplier through this website. And it was called, I forget what it was called, something like Pussy Lover something or something.
Yeah.
But whatever it was, they laughed at that name. Well, now we know that even at that moment, Eric knew it was the queen. So why was he questioning Lafayette like that?
No, Eric didn't know that was the queen.
Uh-huh. He knew the queen was supplying.
No. The queen is supplying Eric now. And Eric is giving it to Lafayette to sell.
Right. But
that, no.
Didn't he know that she was?
No.
Okay.
I never went there.
Okay.
The queen, Eric giving Lafayette blood today,
mm-hmm.
And he's getting it from the queen to give to Lafayette to sell, has nothing to do with how Lafayette was selling it before. Was selling the to whoever, getting it from Eddie. He wasn't getting it from anyone else. He was draining it from Eddie, and then he was selling it to whoever.
But Lafayette was telling Eric about a contact he had in Dallas.
Right.
That he contacted on a website.
Right. Sophie Ann is not in Dallas.
Yeah. Wasn't she in Dallas?
No.
Oh, I thought she was in Dallas.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay, my bad.
He wasn't getting his blood from the queen. Then he's getting it. He doesn't know he's getting it from the queen now.
Right.
The only people who know this is Eric and her.
Right.
But the queen is now supplying Eric, who's now supplying it to Lafayette.
Okay.
I don't think that has anything to do with who Lafayette was selling it to before.
Okay.
Because why would she want to buy it? She'd want to sell it.
Okay. So what do you think he's going to do with Bill?
That's assuming he's the one that has Bill.
I'm assuming Eric is the one that has Bill, because you know why? Because the person had, it's a vampire, because the person had gloves on. A human would not be affected by the silver.
It doesn't mean
Well, I think, well, true, but I think it's Eric, because he would want to protect his hands from the silver, because that silver was burning Bill's neck.
Yeah. Well.
And Eric's bigger than Bill.
That don't mean anything.
Well, but.
You slap some silver around a vampire's neck, even a human can get it.
Yeah, but just by the angle, I think it's
Eric. He was sitting down.
Well, that's true, but
And Bill is short.
I think it's Eric.
Okay.
Because he told the queen, I will take care of Bill personally. He used that term.
Mm-hmm.
And he emphasized personally.
We'll have to see in season 3.
Yep. That's going to be good.
Now, one thing that did irritate me too,
mm-hmm.
is during the Sookie, Marianne Bridezilla marriage, whatever, ceremony.
Yeah.
When Sam told her to destroy it.
Mm-hmm.
and she starts pushing on the totem pole thing, mm-hmm. she had purple light coming out of her hands. Mm-hmm. I thought I was irritated by that.
Why?
I don't like this. All of a sudden, she's like Superwoman or some shit.
Well,
I don't like it.
I think it makes perfect sense.
No.
Because the first time she had the light coming out, she was really upset and stressed.
Yes, I understand.
And this is the second time she is really upset and stressed. I think that's excellent. Because when Marianne tried to get her to do it to her, and she couldn't.
I just don't like this whole thing about being like a superwoman, superpower. Now she's extra strong.
But
with this, instead of white light, now it's purple. I just didn't like, I was like, what?
But it makes perfect sense because she is more than human. So whatever she is, this other power is going to tie into that. Well, in my opinion.
I didn't like that part.
Oh, I loved it. I said, yeah, push that sucker down. You know, so I loved it, but.
And the other thing I didn't quite buy all the way was Eggs being so upset about the blood. He was like too.
That was a little.
Like overdone or something.
It was a little overdone. But you know, they had to do something with Eggs because he's making a movie.
But he could have been, well, yeah, but he could have been, like, answer. Quietly tortured. He was, like, over the top. What's this blood? Oh, my gosh. I have blood. What is it? Oh, my goodness. Somebody help me figure it out.
That didn't bother me because it could be that.
I was waiting for him to go.
Now, it could be that his regular personality without Marianne's influence, I mean, that would be something really shocking to him. I mean, he let Tara know that he's been in trouble before, but it had to do with robbery and drugs.
Yeah.
You know, so to actually murder a person, and then he saw it. He saw himself murdering those people. Well, yeah, I would say he would freak out. Yeah. The part that was unfortunate is when he was poking that knife at Andy, but because I watch Cops sometimes and stuff.
Lord.
No, I'm telling you, a person who is kind of mentally off, whether it's just heat of passion at the moment or for really, you know, mentally ill or something, they do stuff like that. They do stuff like that, you know?
Okay.
So, yeah, that part didn't bother me at all because I would think that the point they were making is his personality or the person that Eggs was without Marianne's influence would not ever do anything like that. See? So that's why he was so, and that's why Tara was trying to tell him, you probably don't want to know. But once he knew and saw himself doing it, then he couldn't deny it.
Yeah.
And he just could not. I would say, if anything, those scenes showed what guilt will do to your mind because he felt so guilty. And Sookie tried to tell him, but look, you were under Marianne's influence.
Right.
Tara tried to tell him. Yeah, it wasn't you. You were under her influence. We all were. But the guilt just got to him.
It just did.
But guilt will do that to you. Yeah. Guilt will make you crazy. So, you know.
It was great. And I really enjoyed the season. We've, of course, except for a few things. Mm-hmm. But I think this season was even better than the first.
Well, one thing that I am hopeful, and that is I really, really liked seeing Lafayette in Merlot's the next day because he was just a teeny bit like himself. When Tara gave him that drink and he took that drink and he did the little dip, you know.
In my mind,
I'm saying, "Woo, yeah, Lafayette is back, you know. And then when Sookie said that Jane Boathouse wanted jambalaya and he gave her that look. You know, I said, yay, bring Lafayette back, you know, the sassy Lafayette.
Yes.
So I'm hopeful that next season he'll be, you know, back to his self, but he'll just have some vampire Eric blood in him, you know?
Yeah.
So,
not be a vampire.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Well, I wouldn't mind them turning Lafayette myself.
Oh, yeah. We had several emails.
Oh, okay, cool.
And a voicemail this week.
Okay, cool.
And so let's talk about those a tad bit.
Okay.
Our first one is from, Mary.
Okay.
And she says, hey, Sister J and Sister K. Mary here from Ontario, Canada.
Ooh, yeah.
I have been a listener of the podcast since nearly the first episode and love it. Your insights into True Blood always bring a smile to my face and give me a good laugh as you both are very witty and hilarious. Hilarious. I am sad that the finale is tonight. Another chat. This is before the finale aired. Or, no, I think it was right after. Another chapter of the series comes to a close. I've been a watcher of the show since season one, as I had found information online prior to it airing, and the show sounded really interesting. I wasn't disappointed. During season one, I read the first novel, and I'm glad they incorporated Tara and Lafayette into the season. I recently started with book two, but when they killed Lafayette off within the first chapter, it upset me since I love Lafayette so much, which we all knew that part. She says, anyways, the Dexter suggestion is a good one. I have been a viewer of the show, but recently took a break, and luckily I can catch up as I watched only a few episodes of the last season. I'm sure this was brought up a few episodes ago, but I would love it if you did an episode of Supernatural. Aside from Lost and True Blood, that show is my addiction. The season premiere aired this week, and I am sure you would bring a good perspective to the show, and it is along the same lines as True Blood. That is pretty much all I have to write in with, but you both always crack me up, and I anxiously await your next episodes. Also, there are very few podcasts about True Blood out there, and yours is by far my favorite. I tried giving another one a chance after finding it on iTunes, but one of the hosts kept giving nicknames to the characters, which was beyond annoying. Mm-hmm. Example, crazy-ass bitch for Marianne.
Oh, please.
Oh, and Hoyt Jessica is my new favorite pairing. I hope in the finale, Hoyt can forgive Jessica for biting his mama. If it was Jessica, I would have done the same thing. Besides, his mom seemed to actually enjoy it, too. Laugh out loud, Mary.
Oh, thank you, Mary, for that wonderful, wonderful email. And, you know, before I forget, though, I'm with you. Because, see, I've listened to a few other podcasts, not about True Blood per se, but other ones where the commentators do that. You know, they call them little cutesy names and stuff. I'm out. I don't like that. Because if I'm listening to a podcast about a show, I want you to talk about the show. I don't want you to talk about all this other crap. And no, I don't like that. So, yeah, I'm with you. But as far as Dexter, yeah, I really love Dexter. But I think we've decided that since this is going to be season four, we're just going to watch it and enjoy it. But we're not going to podcast on it because, you know, that'd be a little late. I did watch the first season of a Supernatural. I watched maybe about four episodes, and it was very good. But then I think something came on that conflicted with it or something, and I got, you know, disinterested a little bit. But it is a good series, so I do agree.
I agree also, except that I haven't watched Dexter so much. And
oh, Dexter's addictive.
Supernatural, and I watched like the first five episodes maybe, the first season. Mm-hmm. Although I do hear it's extremely good.
Yeah, yeah.
So...
and I enjoyed it when I was watching it, so thank you for that email.
Something we don't watch too much right now.
Yeah.
Okay, our next one is from Janelle.
Oh, cool.
She says, hey, sisters, I just wanted to say how much I've enjoyed listening to you all season, and thank you for all of the great conversations about my favorite show. I need to give a big shout-out to my boy Andy for being able to see Sam's value, even in his drunken stupor. When they were stuck in the walk-in fridge, Andy was talking about his nanny, Annie, and the story she would tell about the one-eyed having the burden of leading the blind or something like that.
Yeah.
That was exactly what happened in the finale when only Sam was the key to saving everyone from Marianne. He remembers everything and has to find stories to tell people to protect them from the truth of their actions. Mm-hmm. Thank goodness he killed Marianne quickly because I couldn't take her anymore. Also, the proposal was sweet, but I think it was BS. Mm-hmm. It was right on the heel of a bunch of terrible things that it seems like Bill was taking advantage of Suki's delicate state.
Yep.
Also, he did it right after Sam tells him how keeping secrets just makes everything worse. He had a distinct reaction to that. And as a book reader, I know what his secret is, so I'm angry at him, and I think even though he loves Suki, he is manipulating her. Mm-hmm. And then she says, OMG. Having Jason kill Eggs shocked the heck out of me. I thought Eggs was going to kill himself, but the hero, quote-unquote, Jason, came to save, quote-unquote, Andy. Yep. And for Andy to cover it up to save Jason, which will tie them together forever.
Yep.
Oh, and how was it that Suki was immune to Marianne, but Jason wasn't? Was it because she didn't get punched? Because Jason was fine until Andy punched him.
Yep.
Well, sorry for the long email, but it was a great episode. I will really miss the show and this podcast. Take care from Janelle from Brooklyn.
Hey, Janelle from Brooklyn. Thank you for that email. That is so good. Okay, let me see if I can recall. I do like the fact that you have tied in things that Andy said in that freezer with what Sam has done here at the end. That is an excellent, excellent observation. And see, I like that deep stuff like that. And I totally agree too. And I do too. I love Andy. I think that he is one of the best enjoyable characters to watch. You know, whether he's drunk or whether he's sober. But he is a very enjoyable character.
Kind of a breakout like Lafayette was last year.
I think so, because he is really a very good character. So I'm glad he's going to be a sheriff deputy again, and get his little badge back and all that stuff. And as far as
Jason and Eggs. Killing Eggs.
You know, that's a good observation too. I thought it was really hilarious when Jason, after he killed him, he says, "Wow, I never killed anybody before." But he's always been so gung-ho on, let's do the Rambo thing. So I thought that was really good. But yeah, I thought it was very revealing of Andy to protect Jason like that, because see, they had been bonding for the last several days. Because Andy used to be jealous of Jason, but see, now that he kind of understands Jason and stuff, they're going to be buds. Yeah, they're going to be buddies. So I thought that was good too.
Well, thank you, Janelle.
That's great. Email.
Okay, so we got an email also from Mr. J.
Hey, Mr. J.
He says, "Hey, sisters, I'm happy to say I really enjoyed the last episode of True Blood this season. I didn't feel cheated in the slightest. No more BEs.
Yay!
I do want to say this, though. I really appreciated Michelle Forbes as Marianne. I think a lot of people could have turned Marianne into a really campy character, and Forbes brought a sense of sincerity that broke my heart a little.
Yeah.
I really kind of felt bad for her when she realized there was no God who comes.
Yep.
I guess I just feel like, though, everyone was ready for the Maynard stuff to be over. It wasn't because of Michelle Forbes.
No.
She rocks and has some of the funniest lines of the season. I agree.
Yes, she does.
It really wasn't the performance that I was over. It was the story and the ugly orgies. If there is an Emmy Award for the best guest star for a season, I would definitely give it to her. I'm so glad Sookie didn't just jump into an engagement with Bill. Mm-hmm. I thought for a second she was going to just say yes. I liked her whole speech about how it was all just a little too much for her to take right now. Mm-hmm. It was one of those very real moments that makes True Blood stand a little bit above the other shows of its genre.
Yep.
He goes on to say, "I am so glad Eggs is gone.
Yep.
I kind of wish Eggs had killed himself, though. I just had a hard time believing Jason would do that. I'm interested to see what the future holds for him and Andy now that they have this really big secret. I wish I could say I was sorry for Tara, but I didn't. I'm not. Mm-hmm. I'm just ready to see her move on and do something way cooler than hang with Eggs."
Yep.
"How great was it that the big creepy egg was just an egg? I loved it. Lafayette was one of Marianne's bridesmaids, was really great too. Worship him, bitches. Too funny. Oddly enough, my favorite part of the whole episode was when the two gossiping ladies were telling each other all their different theories about what happened. It totally reminded me of listening to everyone talk about their theories on the various podcasts."
Yep.
"I also know that Charlaine Harris made a little cameo at the beginning of that scene. Mm-hmm. That must have been cool for her to actually sit down in Merlot's and have a drink.
Mm-hmm.
So why do you think the queen was having Eric sell V?
I know.
Did you notice that the hands that wrapped the silver chain around Bill's neck were gloved? Yes, Sister Day, you did.
Yep.
I suspect it was a vamp that got him.
Yep.
I don't have too much to say about the episode other than those few things. It was good and satisfying. I really can't wait until next season. I don't feel nearly as sad as I thought I would. They really gave me a strong sense of closure.
Yep.
Once again, thank you so much for your podcast. I love them all very much and can't wait to see what you have in store for us next. All my best, Mr. J."
Thank you, Mr. J. That's a great email. You know what? I forgot to mention in the other email too about the Bill proposal, because the previous email mentioned that as
Janelle.
Well.
Mm-hmm.
Janelle mentioned as well. And you know, I agree with Janelle's assessment. I I was feeling, the first time I saw that scene, I was feeling rather angry at Bill because I thought, you know what? He's got something up his sleeve because this girl just went through all that stuff. He knows exactly what she went through. And he's going to ask her now,
uh-huh.
You know. So I've never read the book, so I don't know what you're alluding to as far as you know his secret. But I felt like there was some other agenda he's got. So now you've really intrigued me, you know, to know. So once we're off the air, I'm going to make Sister Kate tell me.
I ain't gonna do it.
Because she's read all the books.
But Mr. J is right. It's one of those moments that makes the show great because
yes,
they didn't make Sookie just jump up and go, yes, I will.
Exactly.
They were like, she said, you know, this is a lot to take.
But
I don't even know what I'm doing, what my life is about. Mm-hmm. And this is just a little too much.
Yeah.
Which is true. And yeah. So she couldn't really give him an answer. And even though he was disappointed, that's just the way it was going to have to be.
Right. But, yes, that's kind of selfish,
and now
though.
That she changed her mind and said, yes, he's gone. So,
yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. She can't follow through with it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so our next email was from Denise.
Okay.
And she says, hey, sisters. Well, it's all over. I wish the queen had been in this season more, but she is sure to show up next season. Eric's face as he was forced to play Yahtzee was priceless.
I know.
I used to play Yahtzee with the kids when I worked in an after-school program, and it can get kind of addicting, although we never played to 5 million. My mouth dropped open when she said that she was the one making him sell V. I didn't see that coming. What did he mean, take care of Bill? Not kill him, I'm sure. Of course, I'm glad to see Marianne go. Smooth moves from Bill and Sam. It never occurred to me that Sam should just pretend to be the god. That mm-hmm. scene was great,
oh,
but
yeah.
not as great as Lafayette shouting to the crowd from the top of the meat statue, worship him, bitches. Also, whose blood was in that cup? Ew.
Ew.
Poor Eggs. I didn't want him to go out like that, but he was about to go crazy anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I hope Jason won't be all upset about this all next season.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Hoyt. I'm sure he didn't mean what he said to his mom. Why didn't he call Jessica on her cell? I guess when he didn't answer the door.
Yeah. That's good
Speaking
point.
Of Jessica, what's her problem? She knows better. Is she going to kill that guy or just take a drink, I wonder? I think she's going to kill him.
I think she's going to kill him, too.
Mm-hmm. Last but not least, Sookie and Bill. I was waiting for Eric to show up ever since he told the queen he was going to take care of Bill. So while I jumped when the chain came down on Bill, I wasn't surprised.
Mm-hmm.
I just wonder what he will do. Will he try to kill Bill? Talk him into shutting up by trying to bribe him or blackmail him? Can one vampire glamour another?
Mm-mm.
Looking forward to next season. By the way, I love Glee. Me too. If you ever want to talk about the show, Sister K, let me know. Kisses and hugs, Denise.
Oh, thank you for that email, Denise. Well, you know what? Let me address Glee first. Perhaps Sister K can do like a phone podcast interview with you and Sister K. Yeah. You and Sister K, y'all can
fun.
Do a long distance because, I can't.
I just have to figure out how to
do it. I can't hang with no Glee, so yeah, I'll leave that for y'all. But as far as your email, though, that was a great email. And, you know, I don't really feel sorry for Hoyt. I really don't. I think he needed that push.
Yeah.
Seeing his mother for what she actually is.
Yeah.
And lying to him and stuff, and knowing that his father killed himself to push him out that nest.
But I feel sorry for him, though, the way that he found out about it. But he does need that.
Yeah. But I also agree, too, that I think Eric is the gloved hand that's putting that chain around Bill's neck. Because he told the queen, I'll take care of it personally. So it's either Eric or Pam or Chow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those two that work with him because they're the closest to him. Because, but it's another vamp, I think, too.
Actually, that was our last email, and the voicemail was actually for our other podcast. It wasn't for True Blood. So we won't talk about that on this podcast. But thank you. I just want to say thanks to all the listeners.
Yep.
We said it last week, and we'll say it again. We had a great season.
It was fun.
And had a great time and just really appreciate everyone listening to us after this many episodes and helping us improve. Mm-hmm. and sticking with us and giving us your feedback. That was just so fun.
Yeah, that's fun.
And we were, our last podcast, we basically talked about all the different suggestions that people gave us on shows that we'll podcast about this coming season of new shows. And I think we decided to do Fringe.
And V.
And V.
Yes.
So hopefully everyone will continue to listen to us on a Fringe podcast, which will be first, of course, because it starts earlier. Mm-hmm. And then when V starts, we'll do a V one also.
Yes, we're definitely going to do V.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even if it's crappy, we're going to do a V one. So look for Sister Speak Fringe.
That'll be our next
drama. Coming in about a week.
When does
so.
It start again? I think you said next
week. It starts this week.
Fringe?
Yes.
Oh, okay, great. Mm-hmm. So we'll have another podcast to do this week.
Maybe. That's why I said look for it next week.
Oh, I see.
Yes, look for the actual podcast.
You tired, huh?
Next week. Well, you know, I have stuff to do.
What stuff you always talk about you
have
to do?
I have a schedule. And in the month of October, it's going to be hard.
Don't go there.
It's going to be
hard.
You
got mad at me last time when I laughed at you.
Well, you can laugh all you want.
Because I still haven't, for those who have listened to our Sisters in Review podcast.
Just because you don't read it doesn't mean I don't do it.
But last year, I think around this time, you were talking about this.
And as a matter of fact, I need to start getting ready because it starts October 1.
Well, tell everybody what you're talking about first.
What I do in the month of October is I participate in the National Novel Writing Month. It's called NaNoWriMo. And what that means is you write a 50,000 word plus novel in 30 days. So you start on October 1 and you finish on October 3. You start on November 1 and you finish on November 30th. Yeah, because it's always around Thanksgiving is when I'm done. And you have a completed 50,000 words or more novel. And then the intent is to get a person to not think about, you know, so much what you're saying or how you're saying it, just to get it down, get the story down. Then you go back like months later and edit it and, you know, all this stuff. So that's what I do every November. And V starts November 1 or November 3rd, I think it starts. So
and what we talked about last year, which I could find it and play it because it's actually kind of funny.
It is not funny.
It is funny. I think it's hilarious.
Why are we
you actually
talking about this?
Because you brought it up like you brought it up last time. Okay, everybody, let me just play it and then you will understand what I'm talking about.
Well, I'm also this month, you know, participating in the National Novel Writing Month, which is I'm gonna tell the people it is NaNo. It's called National Novel Writing Month, or for short NaNoWriMo.com, and that's where you write a novel in 30 days, a 50,000 plus word novel in 30 days. So I do it every year. This is my third year doing it.
You know, how come I've never gotten to read any of them?
Well, I'll let you read it.
How come you don't offer?
Because I haven't edited them yet.
So
they have to be edited. This is the right, because this is the writing part where the whole purpose of it is to.
It's been
get
3 years. You haven't edited
it.
The first one what, 3 years ago? Did you write one 3 years ago? You said this is the
you
third
know
year.
That.
Wait a minute. Wait, back up.
You know I've had some issues in between then. I did the first one in 2004. I did the second one in 2005.
Uh-huh.
Last year, I had surgery, like, toward the end of October.
Okay,
so
that's
I didn't
even
do it.
Four, almost, well, no, that's 3 years.
3 years, yeah. I just stuck it in a drawer and went on to the next writing project.
Since you brought this up. So you write it, and then what do you do with it?
Well, what most people do, of which I will do, is you edit it and try to send it out and get it published if that's what you want.
After 3 years, I
guess. Yeah. Well, some people write a novel and 10 years later they do something with it.
Okay, so
what's the big deal?
So I thought you guys posted it somewhere.
No.
I mean, not unless you want to do that. I mean, a lot of people do that with their work and stuff.
So y'all just ran it.
What's so funny about it?
I think that's funny.
Why is that funny?
I don't know, because to
writing
go through...
Writing is a skill.
Oh, well, I'm not writing funny? About... I'm not thinking that's funny. What I think is funny is they have designated this month to write this novel.
It's National Novel Writing Month. Well, but that's a personal choice. That's for me. I mean, I don't know what other people do. Other people, I'm sure, do other things with their writing. They have an editing month. They have a publishing month.
Oh, well, then when's the editing month? Is the editing month in December?
Yes. As a matter of fact, it is.
Is it really?
Yes, there's one in December, and then there's one in March.
So apparently you've never taken part in editing. Well, hopefully you do so I can read one of them. Well, congratulations on that. Hopefully, I'll get to read this year's installment. Oh, that's hilarious. Whew. I'm sorry, y'all. I had to take a break there and just compose myself. I didn't mean to go off like that on Sister J and laugh at her accomplishments with being in the writing group. So, Sister J, I apologize. Hopefully, you understand that I wasn't laughing at you. It just struck me funny for some reason. And I don't want to get started laughing again, so we're not going to go over it. But just know that I wasn't laughing at you. I was laughing with you. Okay, y'all. Sister J don't want me to play it, so I'll add it later. So anyway, we'll go on. We will continue on with Fringe first, and then we'll do V. So I hope everyone keeps up with us and look for the feed. And we'll try to actually do an update on our True Blood feed so you know when our new feed's ready and ready to go. It's been a great season, Sister J. Thanks for doing the podcast with me.
Okay.
And we will see y'all next season 3, which I understand is going to be back in June around the same time as season 2.
Okay.
So, I'm Sister K.
And I'm Sister J.
See you next season.
Bye.